Lord, you have given us gold, silver. You have given us all, much more than that, Lord. You have given us of yourself in Jesus. Lord, allow the gifts of the Holy Spirit to grow and mature in us, Lord. Allow us, the Lord, to accept these precious gems that you have given us in your gifts. May we continue to grow in your love, in your mercy, in your salvation. We pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, my Lord. Good
job.
Do we have a week recording? Okay. So our next speaker this afternoon in this Gifts of Healing and Miracles series is Brad Shoemaker. You met his wife last night, for those who were here. And we said last night, Brad and Marty and their daughter are getting... His daughter and Natalie are getting married, so it's June. Yeah, it's a good time of preparation, and so a lot of things going on in their life. Brad and Marty have been married for 38 years, and they have four children, three boys and a girl, and the girl is the one getting married, and they have seven grandchildren in about 2 weeks. It'll be seventh is almost here. Along with his wife, they own a business, Openly Proclaim God as Lord and Savior, CEO. They actively support pro-life functions, and they're a member of St. James Parish in White Oak in Cincinnati. Home-based community is his, and help us also in outreach. Brad's going to speak to us on healing, clearing up the confusion. Healing, clearing up the confusion.
They pick the most confused to talk about things like this.
Well, what can I say? Let's extend your hands and pray for Brad. So Heavenly Father, we just ask you to take all that confusion away, Lord. Lord, we just thank you and praise you that you would open up a way and allow the Holy Spirit to guide and direct every word that he says tonight, Lord. We thank you again for this opportunity. Thank you for this man of God. We thank you for this witness to Jesus Christ in his life, work, and in every part of his being. Lord, we ask your anointing would fall upon him. May the words that he says today penetrate our hearts. May our hearts be open to your gifts and your gift that you're giving us today, that we would be receptive to it. Satan, you have no power, no authority here. We command you bound to the foot of the cross where Jesus will take care of the situation. Mother Mary, wrap your mantle of protection upon him. And again, Michael, Gabriel, and Raphael, station yourselves in this room to protect us from any and all danger. And we pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Thanks, Dave. Before we get started, really, has everybody seen these little books? They're real powerful. I go through this every time I get a little confused or something happens, but there's a section on forgiveness in here. It's very powerful, and it works through an hour that will definitely change your life. I only have this one. I'll leave it here. There are copies. You can zoom it on the back, and you can get those if you don't have them. I don't know if you have those out here or not. Anyway, that's a good way to work yourself through and clear up the confusion that I'll probably present to you here.
clear up. Brad,
say the name of this one's on recording.
Okay. This is...
No, the book.
Oh. It's Linda Schubert's Miracle Hour.
Yes. Right.
Linda Schubert, Miracle Hour.
Miracle Hour.
I'm having trouble like Mark was with pronouncing my words. Sorry about that.
Well, I always get
approved.
I renounce that.
There you go. See, that's how healing works. All right. I want to start with a prayer. In the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Dear Lord Jesus, I ask you to melt me, mold me, fill me, use me. Help me to present this with your words and your peace Let your Holy Spirit speak. Wash away any of the confusion in me. So let me speak clearly. Open our ears to hear what it is that you have to say. Satan, I do bind you and send you to the foot of the cross in any of your attempts to steal any word that was meant for those people here. We pray these things in the holy name of Jesus. Amen. And P.S. I'm famous for P.S.s with the Lord. He loves it. I'd like to invoke St. Joseph. He's a worker guy. He's been a powerful saint in my life for a long time, ever since the worker part came about. We use a lot of that in our talks, not so much today. But so anyway, this is about healing and clearing up the confusion and obedience, despite the spiritual warfare that you will have, or if you don't have, you will, but when you get into healing ministry. So I just want to start. So how do we do this? It talks about a little bit of what Jesus would do. I like to be like Jesus, if at all possible. So Jesus often heals by touching, sometimes being touched by him. But let's start with him touching. Dave kind of mentioned this a little bit. The cleansing of the leper in Mark 1:40. A leper came to him and kneeling down, begged him and said, "If you wish, you can make me clean." Moved with pity, he stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I do will it, be made clean." The leprosy left him immediately, and he was made clean. So it's be made clean. He gave a word of a command. So that's the word of command that we've talked about many times. You'll hear that continually. Then in Mark 3, a little bit further, 3 and 5, he said to the man with the withered hand, remember he was in there with the Pharisees, and he was talking in a house, I believe. He says, "Come up here before us." And then looking around at the other people in the room, the Pharisees primarily, with anger, he grieved at the hardness of their heart. And he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." And he stretched it out and it was restored. Again, it was a command to stretch out your hand. I don't know if he actually touched him on that, but it was a command again. Often, a sick person has to fight through a crowd to touch Jesus. In this case, he was called forth. But the crowd is usually skepticism, fear, secularism, unforgiveness, pride. I wonder what that man thought that was with the withered hand, because he knew the Pharisees were there. He knew people were watching. He got called up by Jesus to come up front. You know, I've been a little bit nervous coming up to say, well, what's going to happen? What are they going to think? You know, what it's, but he did. He fought through that. He fought through all those emotions and look at the spectacular result. His hope in Jesus, he obeyed and came forth. The evil one attempts to rob us of all healing through various forms of confusion. And in this confusion, we find it difficult to give and obey commands, to hear and do what God tells us. And that's what spiritual warfare is. The other way he heals was by people, and primarily more people were healed by touching him or trying to get to him. It says in Mark 3:10, he cured many, and as a result, those who had diseases were pressing upon him to touch him. Remember the woman fighting through the crowd with the hemorrhage? She just wanted to touch the... And then Jesus goes on and says, Jesus, aware at once that power had come out of him, turned in the crowd and said, "Who touched me?" And his disciples looked at him and said, "You see how the crowd is pressing upon you, and yet you ask who touched me?" Can you imagine? As a disciple. So even they had to fight through the distractions and the fear and the confusion about how am I supposed to know this? Do you ever feel like they might have been frustrated when God thinks to ask you to do something impossible? That's an impossible. How am I supposed to know this? But if we just fight through that fear and do whatever he asks, you can do that. Impossible and make it possible. Again, he goes on, Mark 6:55-56. After feeding the 5,000 and walking on the water and healing the people, people were beginning to recognize him. So they scurried around the countryside everywhere he went and began to carry the sick on mats to wherever they heard that he was going to be next. Whatever villages or towns or countrysides he came, they laid sick in marketplaces and begged him that they might touch only the tassel of his cloak. And as many as touched it were healed. That's pretty amazing. That's faith that It's an increase in faith. Wow. It's believing in the impossible and Jesus making it possible. Just like when you mentioned earlier, Peter's shadow is all they wanted. It's just if the shadow could fall upon him. That's hope, faith, trust, believing in the miracle. In our secularized culture, the evil one tempts us to make a pretense of a religion that negate its power. It's in 2 Timothy 3:5. They say that's the dangers of the last days, which we've heard a lot about what's happening now. Who knows? Our doubting Thomas world denies most things which are beyond its limited horizons, including healing. And that's not believing in the miracles. On the other hand, in a starved world of spiritual experience, there are some who seek signs and wonders, and as an end in themselves. And signs and wonders are to accompany, they're real, and they are to accompany the proclamation of the word. And then as Jesus is the healer, rather than his healings, should be the focus. Remember, it's just be in Jesus and with Jesus. In Mark 16, 15 through 18, he said to them, go into the whole world and proclaim the gospel to every creature. So again, the word, proclaim the word. Whoever believes in the word will be baptized and saved. Whoever not does not believe will be condemned. Then these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons. They will speak new languages. They will pick up serpents with their hands, and if they drink any deadly thing, it will not harm them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Raise the dead, preach the word with the power of God, and these things will happen. So to confront the confusion that Satan throws at us in those tempts, we have to be sure that we can discern and test the spirits that are around us, we're surrounded by them. Manifestations of the Spirit which are biblical, which are tongues, prophecy, gift of knowledge, they should be accepted as long as they focus on Jesus. We've seen a lot of that here today. The tongues, there were some prophecy from several people there earlier. But other manifestations, such as shaking or screaming, should be avoided because there is no definite biblical purpose, basis for them. Healing is not principally a force, but is a result of a personal relationship with God. It's not principally a force, but a personal relationship. You know, everybody's probably heard of Star Wars and the movies I was a fan. It says one of their famous sayings, may the force be with you. When there was meaning behind that, but I like to turn it, and we've always said with our kids and the people and our groups, is that may God be with you, may God go with you. So I'd rather be like Jesus and the keep the focus on Jesus, not on the impossible, but on him who makes everything possible. Another confusion and deviation from Jesus's norm in healing is a de-emphasis on physical healings. This is straight out of the little booklet, Healing in the Imitation of Christ, that Father Al wrote. Today, many people promote inner healing, the healing of memories and psychological theories of healing. And there is a lot of biblical basis for this. Dave, Mary, Jane, and Bunny are very good at that. God works miracles through them. But the overwhelming of evidence in Jesus' ministry is that healing is manifested physically. We see Jesus giving sight to the blind, opening the ears of the deaf, releasing the tongues of the dumb, and giving cripples the power to walk. Jesus' healings are almost exclusively recounted in a physical term. And he says the deep emphasis on the physical healings is not biblical. Remember the basketball player Michael Jordan, that commercial that was out when he was there, he sold shoes and all this. This says, I want to be like Mike. I turn that around in our profession, I want to be like Jesus, the wonder worker, the miracle worker. Also, with the overemphasis on inner healing, we have confused ourselves about the timing of healing. Let's say one more thing about inner healing. We talked a lot about that, and I believe in it. I know it's real. I use it on myself. I've seen the results from people, but I wonder if it would be needed so much if we were out doing the physical healings and lots of people see that and can witness it, where the inner healing is a lot of one-on-one, which is good and needed. And sometimes it's an after, you still need that going on, but If you reach out and can touch somebody and stand up and walk and raise somebody from the dead, wow. What kind of, you know, maybe the inner healing is some wouldn't be as needed. Some people are still going to need it. So anyway, back to the timing. Jesus almost always healed immediately. There are two exceptions found in Mark 8:25 when he laid his hands a second time on the man so he could clearly see because he saw like trees. And then when he laid it a second time, he could see clearly. And the cleansing of the 10 lepers when only one of them come back. But that was only a possible. That on the way, you know, they turned around and saw. So it wasn't very long afterwards that they were healed. Same with the guy that he laid hands on a second time. It took a second time, but he was healed almost immediately. Our Heavenly Father not only wants to heal his children, but he wants to heal them fast. It's God's time. It's not later, but immediately. That's an issue where I struggle when I pray with people. I want to see immediate results. And sometimes I do, but most often times I think my prayers used as fertilizer or as an intercessor or water or plowing the ground. We talked about that earlier. And I've read, I've heard actually quite recently that God's asked me to slow down, to focus intently on my prayer and to watch with expectant faith, which we've been talking about. I have a tendency when somebody's sick at work, they know I'll just come lay hands on them, I'll say a quick prayer, and then I'll go on. I don't wait to see the result, or I don't. And I think I need to wait and have them, like you say, give a word of command. Well, what can you do? Is the rash gone or your headache gone or whatever it is? So anyway, that's a V8 moment for me. So. Finally, we are healed by faith, not by works. We don't have to be medical students to be healed. Our Father has made healing as simple as a mother kissing a cut or a bruise of her child. How many of you can all witness that? That's just the power of a mom kissing that more, or a father, you know, kissing that cut or the bruise, or when they spin their knees and all of a sudden they're better. The cut's still there, but they get enough up, out they go. I'm sure you've all experienced that. Another topic here is healing and medicine. So there's confusion about that. If healing should be simple and not complicated, then we're to make use of doctors, medicine, and modern medical technologies. We talked about that a few minutes ago, or maybe it was you guys were talking about. Well, Father Al says, the Bible teaches that both the sinful foolishness of relying on doctors, and there's a bunch of verses here, 2 Chronicles 16:12, Tobit 2:10, Mark 5:26. And it also talks about the respect that we should have for doctors. We should hold them in esteem. Doctors and medicines have their places in healing, from Sirach 38:1 through 12, Wisdom 1:14, 1 Timothy 5:23, and Isaiah 38:31. But it says that they should not have the first place. We should first turn to God and ask God for the healing. And in prayer and repentance, make sure that we're cleaned up, make sure that we're... And then turn to the doctor when necessary. But he's the fourth place. And God uses doctors to heal us. So don't take that the wrong way. There is a need for doctors. And it says we're to hold them in respect. But there is the proper place. Which goes as the Spirit leads you. If you're prayerful, you're prayed up, and you're in a state of grace, you will know. Another area... There's a lot of is healing, dying, and redemptive suffering. People are often confused about the relationship of dying or suffering to healing. And two significant facts about Jesus's healing ministry are we don't know if Jesus ever refused to heal anyone. It's never recorded. I don't think that he would. I don't know why he would. But and then all those that are healed by Jesus suffered and died. These two facts indicate that Jesus does not want us to be sick. But he does want us to suffer and die. So he wants us to live healthy lives here in abundance, as in John 10:10. And then remember, Jesus saved the world not by healing it, that was an example of his power to draw people to him, but by his suffering and dying on the cross. The Lord in the Bible speaks of redemptive suffering many times. Philippians 3:10, to know him, and the power of his resurrection and the sharing of his sufferings by being conformed to his death. In Colossians 1:24, Paul, rejoicing in his sufferings for your sake. So whatever you have to go through, if you're in a ministry especially, you're going to have harder takes. Like I think you said at one time, expect to suffer something for the work of the Lord. Then it says, Philippians 1:29, for to you it has been granted for the sake of Christ, not only to believe in him, but to suffer for him. That granted, is that a gift? Has he given us a gift to be able to suffer for him? In 1 Peter 4:12-14, beloved, do not be surprised that a trial by fire is occurring among you, as if something strange were happening to you. I hear who can't say that they've ever not experienced a trial by fire, especially when you're trying to walk with the Lord. And the further, the deeper you get of experiences that we have, like trying to get up here and talk or writing one of these talks and preparing for it. You know, there's all kinds of spiritual attacks, and you'll have, in my case, it attacks the business usually. So followers of Christ will suffer, but we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. So he won't give us more than you can handle. And it says to rejoice to the extent that you share in the sufferings of Christ, so that when his glory is revealed, you may also rejoice exultantly. And so if you're insulted, I mean, people have been called out for that in the name of Christ. Blessed are you, for the spirit of glory in God rests upon you. 1 Thessalonians talks of thanksgiving and suffering. Redemptive suffering is persecution, rejection, self-sacrifice, or possibly sickness, not due to our sins necessarily, as it was in John 9:2-3 that Dave mentioned, of the man born blind. It wasn't for his sins, but it was for the glory of God. Healing is not an escape from suffering, it's release, it's a release from useless suffering to prepare us to enter into redemptive suffering. And a note here to talk about, there was a guy that at work that, as you know, I pray regularly at work. We have every 2 weeks, we have a safety meeting, and we have four offices in different cities, and I get on, we zoom them out, and then there's, you know, 40 or 50 of us in our main office. And, you know, I would pray. I always open up every meeting with a prayer or a blessing or a verse, whatever God puts on my heart. Where there's one senior tech that he's been with us now for 12 years or so, but he was always downplaying that. He was spreading rumors saying, I'm going to get them in trouble for that. They can't pray at work. You can't do that. That's against the law. And I don't know who he was going to turn us into. But the last couple of years, he went through a hard divorce. He's got a new girl in his family now, or his, a new girlfriend, and she's kind of adopted his daughter. And when I look around, when they're praying, his head's bowed. So God works in miraculous ways. And it took many, many years for that to happen. Yes, thank you, Jesus. There's one in sometimes even though death is better than being healed, from Philippians 1:23, where Paul was talking about, he was said they'd be rather be dead and go on to Christ, but he's suffering here through this life for our sake and the people that he preaches to. Occasionally, a person's death is not according to God's will. In this case, we're called to have funeral home faith and raise the dead, as Jesus did. If we believe in Jesus, we can do greater than he did, from John 14:12. Peter raised Tabitha from the dead, and Paul may have been raised by his disciples after he'd been stoned, and they gathered around and prayed for him, and all of a sudden he's back in town preaching. The Old Testament men and women of faith received back their dead through the resurrection, from Hebrews 11:35. And when Jesus commanded us to cure the sick in the same sentence, he commanded us to raise the dead. Even goes back to trying to clear up the confusion. I wonder what Tabitha, what she was when she was raised, when Peter raised her, what was she doing before she passed? She was doing good works and giving alms. She was consumed herself with that. That was her primary focus. And then she was raised. So I'd say, what is your primary focus? Are you consumed with God's work and something that he's doing in your life? And if you are, then that's awesome. And if you're not, then maybe we should be. So that's a believe in the seeming impossible. Who would have thought that he would have walked in and raised her from the dead? And then what else did he do there too? He pushed people out of the room to get rid of it. He cleared the room from the confusion. So we understand, we should understand the full gospel of healing. Jesus wants to heal, but he also wants us to suffer in carrying our daily cross. Raise the dead and die a happy death. So carrying your daily cross, or what does dying to yourself mean, or carrying your cross? And a lot of people struggle with this. I still struggle with this sometimes. I'm not sure. But it says, 1 Peter tells us, it's Christian restraint. Therefore, since Christ suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves with the same attitude, for whoever suffers in the flesh has broken with sin. Verse 2. So as not to spend what remains of one's life in the flesh on human desires, but on the will of God. Is that simplifying our lives sometimes? For the time that has passed is sufficient for doing what the Gentiles like to do, living in debauchery, evil desires, drunkenness, orgies, carousing, and wanton idolatry. They are surprised that you do not plunge into that same swamp, and they vilify you. But they will give an account to him who stands ready to judge the living and the dead. For this is why the gospel was preached even to the dead, that though condemned in the flesh in human estimation, they might live in the spirit in the estimation of God. It goes on, Christian charity. The end of all things is at hand. Again, this world, we never know how when that might be. Tomorrow. Therefore, be serious and sober for prayers. Above all, let your love for one another be intense, because love covers a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without complaining. As each one has received a gift, use it to serve another as good stewards of God's very grace. And in verse 11, whoever preaches, let it be with the words of God. Remember, power in the word of God. Whoever serves, let it be with the strength that God supplies. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory, the dominion forever and ever. I know in our home-based community, the faith that we get and the love that is shared and the intercessory prayers, I know every day that these guys pray for me and I pray for them. And whatever, something's going on in their lives, there's extra prayers for that. And the power out of that is just phenomenal. See, it's the Holy Spirit's prompting, whether convenient or inconvenient. In my case, I need to learn to slow down, look intently, expect God to add, pay attention to what he's doing in their lives, not about mine. I was a smoker, a former smoker. I smoked for 35 years, but he asked me to put it behind me. And that's over 10 years ago, maybe 15 now. And when you expect God to ask, or when he asks you like that, it was a hard thing to do because I enjoyed it. But you have to overcome that. Or when someone asks you for prayer, you know, like, I think several people have said, you know, don't say, I'll pray for you. Say, let's pray. Let's do it right now. You're tired. It's the end of the day. I know I'm always tired, it seems like. Just want to go home, enjoy some comfort, but you stay and you do what God commands. Usually it's phenomenal, the results that you see. And then just a couple things quickly. What the Catholic Church in Clarity Healed about healing. To help us deal with all the confusions, the Lord give us the church, the pillar and bulwark of the truth, from 1 Timothy. The Catholic Church has always clearly and unequivocally recognized healing as a part of God's plan of salvation. Sacrament of the Anointing of the Sick testifies to this. It talks about Lourdes in France as the greatest healing center in the world. For a saint to be canonized, we have to see exceptional healings and must be medically documented. Again, there's a place for the doctors in this world. The Catholic custom of venerating relics remind us of Paul's dramatic healings at the ministry at Ephesus, when handkerchiefs or claws had touched his skin, were applied to the sick, their diseases were cured, or when Peter's shadow fell and just walked behind him. In addition to the sacraments, the anointing of the sick, the other sacraments bring the Lord's healing. St. Thomas Aquinas attests to the healing power of the Eucharist, in which we receive not just medicine or healing, but the healer himself. That's every time we go to Mass, we should get rid of this accepting the super, taking the Blessed Sacrament. It's this remits us of our venial sins. And this is just a little note that I thought was interesting, but its original purpose of having a tabernacle to keep Holy Communion was to have communion available for the sick and dying. The sacrament of reconciliation is often occasion for healing. When we feel sick, we must go to Dr. Jesus first in confession before we go to any other doctor. Also, the sacrament of matrimony brings healing. Husbands and wives have exceptional power to heal each other as a praying couple. Also with your children. Heal their children and vice versa. Our kids have that power to pray over us. We Catholics repeatedly proclaim that the Lord will heal us. Every time we receive communion, we profess, only say the word and I shall be healed. If we understand Jesus' healing ministry enough to imitate him, I want to be like Jesus, then we are ready to join a healing ministry. And there's plenty of opportunities to do that here, and that's what you're here for. We should heal where we're planted. Wherever you're at, whatever you're doing, you're there for a reason. You're here for a reason, either to pray for the person next to you. This, we saw the healings that happened over here today. For me, it's mostly at work. Or at other places we go when we go out to. Wherever you're planted, whatever you're doing, start right there. And then get in a small community, a group where you can practice and you can work with each other. It's wonderful. Expect to make mistakes, look bad, be persecuted. Just simply do your best. Try and join a healing team. And pray frequently together. Listen and realize that the Lord has revealed so much. We don't understand fully why some people are healed and some people are not. However, we know that we can trust in Jesus. Our God is just to do what he asks. Our job is to do what he asks. We're the worker guys, as I like to put it. A couple things closing up here. I had a whole page of notes from there, so I covered most of those. But it was a prayer, it says, to send out healers. Heavenly Father, deliver me from the evil one. Guard me from pride, doubt, and confusion. Be glorified by all that I say and do. And a couple of verses, Romans 8:28. All things work for good for those who love God. So know that if you love God, whatever you're doing, he can turn it into good. And Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So with Jesus, we can do the impossible. We can heal the sick, we can cure lepers, we can raise the dead. Jesus, we trust in you.
Amen. Thanks, Brad. Okay, so we've got about a 15-minute break.